Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Today, and it came out today. We're going to have on our program tonight, I should say, Vernon Dozier, who lost his home in the one of the fires. And he'll be talking with us about the do-gooders that are coming around with coffee and orange juice and how he wants to take the tray of coffee and orange juice and throw it back across the street onto their unburned front lawn. And we're also going to have another guest. It'll be R.C. Collins talking about Kobe Bryant. The fans came out for Kobe the other night. You got to admit that. They came out, they cheered him on, and that can mean only one thing. They understand that sometimes it's necessary for a man to cheat on his wife. And fans the world over understand this, even if it's taking her, bending her roughly over a chair, and leaving her with bruises. A man's got to do what a man, or in this case, a boy, has got to do. Just kidding around with the boy thing. I know a lot of you think it's racial. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Hendry. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Topping the hour, though, here. The top of the hour to you. No, topping the hour, television is in the toilet, baby. I don't know whether you heard it or not, but the TV business is, and when I say the TV business, understand I'm talking about over-the-air television, network television. Many of you, and I don't blame you, don't understand the difference. I'll say to somebody, what channel is it on? And they'll say, on our TV, it's channel 61. No, I mean, what over-the-air, never mind. No, I'm talking about the traditional, what were once called VHF stations 2 through 13 and the networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, so on and so forth. It's doing bad. And one of the reasons why it's doing bad is it's made stupid, unbelievable. Well, no, it's not unbelievable. It's very believable. I've been in broadcasting for 30 years. I've seen programmers make dumb decision after dumb decision. For instance, hiring me. It's happened at least 15 times that I can think of. So, very self-effacing, Phil. That's nice. That'll really get the audience on your side. Nice one. Nice save there, Phil. Jesus. Anyway, get to the point, will you? All right. Anyway, NBC has dumped this show called Coupling. This was a turd that you already saw floating in the bowl 8 months ago, and it's an astounding thing. Now, a lot of guys will say, oh, well, we know why you're bitter. You had a pilot over there. They didn't pick it up. No, you're right. They didn't pick it up. But I can understand if they didn't pick my pilot up because it wasn't funny. And they picked up something funnier, right? What they picked up instead were the droppings from a mule's ass. They picked up Coupling, which is a BBC show, and it's supposed to be a sexier Friends. In other words, take Friends, eliminate most of the humor and personality, add real quasi-veiled sexual reference, which is, as we all know, is exceedingly lame in these times. And what have you got? A lame show that no one wants to watch, and that's exactly what happened. And finally, the NBC president of quote, entertainment, end quote, Joe Zucker, he said, yeah, it blew, all right. And I ought to know, I put it on the air. Thanks, Joe. Then, another show, which you guys have probably heard of, something called, what the hell was the other thing? Oh, yeah, the Reagan mini-movie, this mini-series movie. This is a case of a film, in this case, a mini-series, or what do you call a movie of the week, right? Which nobody likes to watch. They are all terrible, almost to the film itself. They're uninteresting. They have stupid takes on history. They generally, I remember when the David Koresh flick came out. You remember that? Everybody's looking forward to that. I was in Minneapolis when that flick came out about that nut. And the whole country's debating. Well, it ain't the same. Everybody was debating whether David Koresh was a good guy or a bad guy. I couldn't believe that one. David Koresh was a scumbag then. He's a scumbag today. He'll always be a scumbag, okay? And if you want to know what a scumbag is, write us in care of PHS at PhilHendryShow.com. I'd be happy to tell you. All right, now, moving on. We got this Ronald Reagan thing. A, no one wanted to see this movie anyway. B, David Guggenheim, one of our producers here, gave us the tape, and he says, are you guys interested in seeing some excerpts from this? I said, well, is it good? He goes, not really. I mean, is it racy? Is it exciting? No. So it's much ado about nothing. And the Reagans, like I said this last night, Please forgive me. I'm happy that a guy's happily married. There's something kind of disgusting about their relationship. I don't want to know anything about it. I don't want to know how much they love each other. When those love letters came out, I was dry heaving. Just, you know, dear Pookie Boo and Ronnie and Nancy, and he's in New York. You know, because what I was reading was, if you really want to comment on their marriage, let's comment on their marriage. It was to the exclusion of their kids. Let's face it. Let's face it. They were lousy parents. And I understand Nancy Reagan, that's my, and I don't have any real source on this, just kind of a, you know, just a feeling I got. She can't stand her kids. And Ronald Reagan, God bless the man, everybody thinks he was a great president, good, you're entitled to your opinion, but as a father, he was worthless. Worthless! So what is it you admire about this guy, other than the fact he was a great president, and what is it that made the CBS want to put this guy's story on the TV about his... Let the man pass on into the nether reaches, or to heaven, whichever place he goes to. Let about 30 or 40 years pass by, and then let another generation of historians take a crack at it, okay? We're not qualified. There isn't a qualified historian on the face of the earth ready to talk about Ronald freaking Reagan. Ronald F. Reagan. And it sure ain't CBS, as in BS, as in turd in a suit. You know, Ron and Nancy, a love affair for the ages. Barf. I mean, hey, Phil, want to see the Ron and Nancy movie? I'm sorry, I just, for some reason, I'm not feeling well. Well, here it is right... Never mind. I gotta... Can you flip it on, you know, Family Guy, please? So guess what? They pulled it off the air. They pulled it off the air, and that's the end of that. Nobody wants to see that piece of crap either. So what's left? Ain't nothing left, man. They got nothing on that anybody wants to see. They're bitching and pissing and moaning about how nobody wants to watch their lousy television. The reason is, you guys ain't putting on anything on the air that anybody wants to sit for 5 seconds, let alone a half hour, an hour, and waste a good solid hour of their lives watching when they could be playing Halo, Myth, Madden 2004. We could be gaming. We could be festing. Even that Rob Lowe's The Lion's Den was pulled. Okay, that's nice. What was that? I never even heard about that. And we could be I could be watching porn. I could be watching any kind of porn. I could be watching the pro-am of porn. What do I want to sit through your lousy movie for and the commercial breaks? Get it? So the world of television is in disarray. And it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people. What you know what happens, guys, is, you know, when you play it safe, you'll fail. You will fail every time. All right. This leads us into a major announcement we have on our program. The Phil Hendry Show's first annual Dumbass of the Year Awards. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, on December the 23rd, 4 to 7, tentatively scheduled 4 to 7 Pacific, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, live from the Kodak Theater in Hollywood. The Phil Hendry Show will present the first annual Phil Hendry Show Dumbass of the Year Awards. Now, we'll be doing this every year. It'll be December the 23rd. Mark your calendar. Sit down by the radio that day, and you'll be hearing some of the great dumbasses this year being awarded. Now, there's going to be 10 categories. Besides the official Dumbass of the Year category, we'll have the Dumbass of the Year Youth category, Dumbass of the Year Female, Dumbass of the Year Male, Dumbass of the Year Musician, Television Star, or Movie Star, Dumbass of the Year Caucasian, Dumbass of the Year African American, and then finally, Dumbass of the Year Sports. And listen to us, tune in, be glued to the radio. Now, you want a reason to listen, there it is. That's that, right there. And if they ever try to put this on TV, it's going to cost them big. I've already copywritten the term, Dumbass of the Year. It's all mine. I own it. Ha ha. So that's coming up on December the 23rd, the first annual Phil Hendry Show Dumbass of the Year Awards. Now, let me just say this about what a lot of you are thinking right now, which is, ooh, I want to email in my nomination. Okay, that's fine. You know, you can do that if you want. We're not encouraging it, and we're not discouraging it. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a specific definition to a dumbass, as in, what a dumbass, right? It's different from what a jerk or what a a-hole, or what a this or that, right? In other words, Saddam Hussein, is he a dumbass? No. Everybody's shaking their head. No, that's right. He's not a dumbass. He's a dangerous freak, right? Sean Penn, a dumbass? Yes, everybody's nodding. Of course he's a dumbass. What are you doing, Pelton? He's in there going, I don't know. What'd you think he was? You think he's some kind of a mastermind? You think he's a criminal mastermind? Sean Penn goes over to Iraq, gets photographed. Oh, come on. Kobe Bryant, dumbass or something else? He's a dumbass. I can't even see him as a low-moral person so much as I see him as just one dumb kid, you know. And he may not even make the list because he is kind of a dumb kid. I don't know. As bad as, you know, I ain't losing any sleep over it. Anyway, so that'll be the Phil Henry Show's first annual Dumbass of the Year Awards from the Kodak Theater in Hollywood. We're very excited about that. That is where the Academy Awards are held. And on December the 23rd, tentatively scheduled for 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern, and if we have a time change, we'll let you know, our Dumbass of the Year Awards. Coming up on our show tonight, Vernon Dozier talking about the fires and how he can't take those do-gooders with the orange juice and the coffee, and R.C. Collins on how the fans love Kobe because they understand his wife ain't giving him the sex no more. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Well, in a moment, we're going to be talking about one more old entertainer having a baby. But first, it's time now for that portion of the show that few of our listeners understand, Phil's Iraq File. Just a couple of notes on Iraq, and then we'll move on to the sexy fun stuff. David Letterman's having a baby. Now, Iraq is in the news lately. A lot of American soldiers are being ambushed. They're being killed. People are nervous. They don't know what to do. They're all agog and aghast. Everyone is believing everything that they're reading, and there's a lot of sky-is-falling Chicken Littles running around. And, you know, it's just, in other words, it's business as usual in the United States, particularly in Washington, D.C., when it comes to the action in Iraq. Now, let me tell you what I have found out in the last 48 hours through my exclusive sources inside and outside of Iraq. First of all, the cats that they're blaming all of this stuff on, which is Saddam Hussein and the Ba'ath Party loyalists, it has come to my attention, and it is through our informational sources, that dumbass Hussein, which, you know, he's a dumbass, but he ain't going to qualify for our war. But that guy, he couldn't find his ass with both hands these days. He's in a world of hurt. Hussein, apparently, according to the interrogations of Tariq Aziz and a few others, has completely misjudged and misread the United States in terms of our attack on Iraq. If you want to know who's doing it to us, if you want to know who is carrying out these attacks, look no further than Syria and Iran. Both countries have bases training terrorists. Now, I'm not saying the Iranians or the Syrians necessarily know that they're there, although, please. And I'm not necessarily saying that they're funding them, but they are allowing them to exist. There are about 400 to 500 foreign fighters in Iraq right now. They're Syrian, they're Chechenian, they're Iranian, and they're also Al-Qaeda. And here's the other thing that really cracks me up. This is just killing me. I mean, does anybody see the irony in this? Everybody running around saying there's no connection between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda, and yet there ain't one swinging you-know-what going to deny that Al-Qaeda's in Iraq right now helping out Saddam. Is that connection enough for you, or is that something we caused? Yeah, okay. I got it. So they never would have had anything to do with each other if it wasn't for good old America. Is that it? And man, the hits just keep on coming on this thing. Holy God. Well, where's the proof that there's a connection between Al-Qaeda and Saddam? Every day. Over there, every day. Is that enough for you? No. I don't mean now. I mean before we went to war. Well, they're freaking connected now, man. What difference does it make? Anyway, the Syrians are doing it and the Iranians are doing it. Saddam Hussein, according to the sources that I have, he does not have the organizational ability right now. He does not have the control and command right now to be pulling this crap off. This is all foreign crap going on. Foreign fighters, these foreign interventionist scumbags from Iran and from Syria. All right? Makes it really tempting to go to war with those guys. But you don't want to do that. And last night I told you what the compromise was with regard to this situation. You don't have to keep the soldiers there if you don't want to, if you're too weak stomach for it, if you're getting a little weak in the knees for it. But we are fools. I mean, we'd be complete and utter idiots if we didn't put a military base there and have a U.S. presence there indefinitely. And I'd like to see and hear who it would be that would try to get us out of there and what they're going to do to try to affect it. It ain't going to happen, man. So let's put a base there. And like I said, the Iraqi people, God bless them, but you know what? They rolled over for Saddam Hussein for 30-plus years. They rolled over for prime ministers and dictators. Sometimes the people just get what they deserve. Sometimes the people get the exact, as the man said, you get the kind of government you deserve, right? Oh, isn't that arrogant of you, Mr. Henry? Why, for centuries, Americans have been free, but these Iraqis, they're only 30 years into their thing. So how dare you say something like that? Yeah, well, I just did. What do you want from me, okay? Now, these guys in Iraq, do whatever the hell they want to do, but I'm just telling you, we're not up against Saddam Hussein over there. The guy's small potatoes. The real perpetrators of this violence are Syrians and Iranians, and they're taking advantage of the situation. Straight after Monday's suicide attacks, Washington appealed to Syria to seal its frontier crossings with Iraq with military units. What is that telling you? Syria. You don't know anything about Syria, do you? Look it up. Find out about Syria. It's another Ba'athist state. And it has, and it's got blood on its hands. Like, man, they washing it daily, Syria. They're unbelievable. Those guys give funding to Hezbollah. Those cats, they had a terror summit in Damascus a few weeks ago. They are up to their ankles in blood. Not only that punk kid that's running that country now, but the old man, that old crone who, thankfully, good riddance to bad trash, died. But now we got the kid to deal with. Syria did indeed dispatch troops to the frontier in response to American demands. However, they were given secret orders not to interfere with guerrilla traffic. Now Damascus is not even bothering to go through the motions, claiming this time it's helpless to take effective blocking action on a border stretching for hundreds of kilometers. The expanse is so vast and empty, guerrillas easily dodge around Syrian patrols. While Baghdad is a large metropolis that defies absolute security, nonetheless, some of the actions of U.S. military and intelligence arms are puzzling, and so on and so forth. We're not going about it the right way, but it is not an impossible task. Just because you can't get it done within 30 seconds doesn't mean it's a task that is impossibly done. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. At the expense of whatever, I'm going to continue to talk about this. I won't be rapping about it. I won't be devoting 19, 16, 18, 85 million hours to it, but I am going to be talking about it. Because it's really important. Because if you don't get what's happening over there, you ain't going to get nothing. And I got this argument with my kids the other day at the dinner table. They don't know jack about geography. My kids are so stupid when it comes to geography. It boggles the mind. I said to them something like, I was asking them geographic questions. Hey, what are you asking us geography for? You said you're going to ask us about capitals and stuff. No, I'm asking you geography. Okay. Do you know that my high school senior son doesn't know what country Munich's in? He's a senior in a college prep high school, and he couldn't tell me what country the city of Munich was in. He's a senior in a private college preparatory high school. It's possible he will enter college not knowing what country the city of Munich is in. He's not black. He doesn't go to an inner city school. He's kind of black. No, I'm kidding. But he don't know where Munich is. And I had to tell him it's in Afghanistan. The problem is, most of these kids are so stupid.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we're going to have news that pro football players can understand, which is a regular feature on our show. And maybe tomorrow we'll have a segment, how dumb is your kid? You know, my kids, at least when it came to that, dumb? Oh, baby, are they dumb. Woo-hoo! What country is Munich in? Hi, I'm a high school senior. I don't know. Honest to God, geography, see, some people look at geography, well, who cares, man? Let me tell you who cares. You got to know where you are, okay? That's number one. Where are you? Can you find your own country on a map? That's dumb. I don't care what anybody says. If you can't find the United States on a map, on a global map, you're an idiot. You're an idiot, and there's nothing you can do about it, man. There may be some help. I understand they're experimenting right now with some drugs, but by the time you get to be about 50, you'll be walking around on your knuckles like a freaking chimp. And there's people, and this is sad, a lot of the GIs that were in Vietnam, they interviewed them after they got back. I don't know. Where's Vietnam? I don't know. They couldn't find it on a map. Honest to God, they couldn't find it on a global map. If you showed them a map in country, they'd know, well, this is Vietnam. There's the Mekong River. I know that. But here's a globe. Find it. I don't know. To me, that's dumber than hell, man. That's just absolutely unreal. But let's push all of that aside for a moment. A college preparatory high school senior? This school I'm sending him to, man, it ain't cheap. He don't know where Munich is? Huh? Can my voice get any higher with incredulity? By the way, Bill Handel, just a note, I love you, man. Bill's on mornings on KFI. I love his show. Bill is a hoot. But, you better calm it down, man, because your voice has got really way up there. Jesus, I'm listening to him this morning. He's going, I can't believe it. He's like, he's almost gagging on something. I don't want to know what it is. I'd rather not, but my mind, the imagination reels at the possibilities. So we're going to have a feature. It's called How Stupid Is Your Kid? And, you know, it's kind of a counter thing to how smart is your... My kid's an honor student? Yeah, good for you. Your kid's an honor student at what? My kid's an honor student at Ass Elementary High School or whatever the hell it's called. You know, I see the bumper stickers, which only inspires anger in other parents. It doesn't what... Am I supposed to say, good? You know, that's how petty adults are. Well, you want to see a petty adult, watch them in relationship to their children. One of the things that I've learned as a new parent is being around other parents in relation to school activities. They're really creepy. They're really creepy. Get kids out of the mix, and you can hang with other adults in a, you know, it can sometimes it's fun. But when it comes to their kids, they're so prideful to a fault and suspicious of other parents. And sometimes, and I mean, and you know this, borderline violent. I mean, I've witnessed it. I'm not talking about crap I've seen in the news. I've seen it with my own eyes. Borderline violent, it's creepy. And on top of everything else, throw into the mix the natural inclination that most mothers have that their kid is the second coming of Jesus H. Christ on this planet. Well, you got the makings for one hell of a night in Dublin, man. You got the makings. You could finish off a bottle of Maker's Mark with just all that crap to think about within seconds, if not hours. All right, let's go now to a flashback. That's something for you to chew on, if you'll pardon the expression. We had Don Berman on our radio show last week, or Don Parsley, excuse me. Don Parsley is a man who, this guy says he lost his home in one of the fires, and he needs some money to, A, get a hotel room, B, buy a car for his children who are number A6, B4, C3. He don't know the names of them. He doesn't know whether his wife's alive or dead. He's our favorite con artist, Don Parsley.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You should be ashamed of yourself. With all the people who have been made homeless, with all the displaced people out there in California, here you are calling up with this crap.
No.
You don't have any children.
No, ma'am.
I doubt if you even have a wife.
No, ma'am.
And you don't need money for a hotel. What you need is some, you need some help. You need some therapy.
No, ma'am. You're wrong.
Where's your wife right now?
She's in the living room. I mean, not in the living room, because our home is burned down.
What living room do you have? I thought you were home.
I don't have a living room. I don't have a living room. She's sitting in our car. She's sitting in our car.
Oh, but all of a sudden you thought it was a living room.
My family's lived in San Diego. Well, I was in San Diego County.
Oh. That, see, you're getting tripped up, possibly.
See, wait a minute. Are you in Arrowhead or are you in San Diego County?
I'm in San Diego County now because I got out of Arrowhead. I didn't want to be there no more.
And your wife's sitting in a car, and what phone are you using?
I'm on a payphone.
At a payphone. Where are the kids?
She needed a car. I thought you needed a car.
Oh, I do. The car I got's no good. I mean, it won't even get maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're making fun of a man.
You are a liar.
My wife is burned and everything.
I hope some law enforcement agent is listening to this call because this is fraud.
How much
you
money?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
If you can give me some money, I'll get out of state and I'll never bother you again.
You know what? I want to give you a wing and a prayer. That's what I'm going to give you. You need some help, mister.
My twin newborns, I had to help out of an upstairs window. Well,
first you had one newborn. Now it's twins. What's the birthday?
Mr. Parsley, do you have twins?
I told you I had twins. They're 3 weeks old. What's the birthday? They're 3 weeks old.
Yeah, what is the exact day? No, what's the day? And what hospital were they born in?
Downtown Hospital.
What's the maternity ward? Every maternity ward has a name. What's the name of that maternity ward?
It's the St. Peter's Maternity Ward.
Now tell me the date. Man knows it was just 3 weeks ago, but tell me the exact date.
October 3rd.
Did you have to think about that?
No, I don't have to.
Of course. I'm going to call St. Peter's. I want to call St. Peter's and find out if there were twins, if there are Parsley twins born there.
Ma'am?
You see?
Okay, and if there are you going to give me money then? Okay.
You are lying.
They were born on July. First of all,
if there were Parsley twins born, yes, I will send $100.
Ma'am, first of all, no, they were not born in October. I misunderstood your question. You asked me when they were born.
You misunderstood. You repeated my question. You didn't misunderstand it. You repeated it.
When
you're
were your kids?
You're trying to get it straight.
When were your kids born?
They were born on July 26th.
That's not 3 weeks.
That's not 3 weeks ago.
It's 3 months.
You told me a half hour ago that you had one baby that was 3 weeks old. Now you got twins that are 3 months old, and you pulled them out of a burning second floor window.
Oh, so in other words, I'm supposed to let my kids die?
No, you're not supposed
to
let
you. You're a liar. You need some help, man. Oh, my gosh. You need so much help. It's ridiculous.
Okay, now that I listen to everything you've said, do you have money or...
You haven't proven to me. You haven't proven anything
and
to
I've
me.
And I've had to listen to you caterwauling, and you won't even give me any money.
You're absolutely right, because you have to listen to more than that. You really should go to jail for that. There's no telling how many people you've defrauded.
Well, you know something, Mr. Parsley? You won't take your family to a shelter where your children are burned, your wife has diabetes, a kid's got epilepsy and agoraphobia.
Yeah, right?
He's got...
Oh, so now you're laughing at my children.
I'm laughing at you. You're a joke. And it's not agoraphobia, it's claustrophobia, you big dummy. You aren't even smart enough to keep your life
safe. I hope that when St. Peter looks you in the eye, you can look
at
him and...
St. Peter, I hope you're looking in the mirror saying that.
When the good Lord meets you on the other side...
I'm telling you, you should be stricken down right now.
Do you know how hard it is to be a man who only has one leg?
Terrible.
Now you only have one leg.
I told you I only had one leg.
No, you didn't tell me you only had one leg.
You are a liar.
Now you're lying. Now you're lying, because I know I told you I had one leg.
I didn't hear it. I've been listening to the show.
Okay, see? So she doesn't even know. She's calling me a liar, but she didn't even listen to the show.
I said, I've been listening to the show. I've been listening to the show since you appeared.
I have one leg.
You got one leg, huh? And how did you lose the leg?
At the Gulf War.
Now you're a war veteran.
All right, if you want to make fun of me.
Okay, what VA hospital do you go to get your prosthetic limb?
I'm sorry?
What VA hospital did you go to get a prosthetic limb?
I do not have that.
Don't have what?
What you said.
Every wounded veteran knows what a prosthetic limb is. What are you walking around, man, on a peg leg?
Okay, make fun of our veterans. Go ahead.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Don Parsley, man, and that guy is full of crap. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going, man. He's got a new line for every situation. He's just like a lot of, radio programmers and executives. I'm kidding around, just having some fun with our fine friends out there in radio land. David Letterman, one more old bastard having a baby. One more old, croned up, pruned up old man having a baby. All right. Good for you. You can impregnate a younger woman. Okay. Hey, I got nothing. No problem with it, man. Anthony Quinn, all those old bastards. But I'm going to tell you something, and you too, Larry King, especially you. You ain't going to die. You're going to raise those kids. You understand that? You understand that, King? You're not going to die. You're going to raise the kid. And you too, Randall. How old is that old Tony Randall? 150? 83. You're not going to die. You're going to get out of bed every day. You're going to take them to school. You're going to pick them up from school. You're going to play ball with them. And you're not going to get away with the, croaking, okay? Even if you're in bed, sick with cancer, sick with a heart disease, ready to die. You're going to be forced out of that bed, out onto a ball field to play catch. Do you understand? Otherwise, I'm going to come to your hospital, Mr. Randall, and I'm going to drag you out there myself. I'm going to put a leash around you, tie it to the end of the bumper of my car, and just kind of drive around a track about five times at an average trot of, say, 3 miles an hour. You old bastards, keep your colons clear. Your prostate is spritting, and you raise those kids! Even if you got glaucoma, you're going to raise those kids. You see, I'm all in favor of you guys spreading your seed and making yourselves feel better at the age of 168, but you're going to do more than that. You ain't going to sit on your dead ass in your golden years and have your children arrayed around you so you can feel good. What the hell do you think you are, huh, King David? What do you think you're, who's the guy that sat around, you know, like one of them polygamists? One of those guys that sits around with his thumb on his rear end? Solomon, that guy. Listen to me. You're not a guy with a thumb on his rear end? Yeah, Solomon. You're going to get out there and you're going to be a father to those children, even if it kills you. Even if you die. Even if you die spitting blood on your TV show, King. How old is Larry King's kid? It's a babe, a baby. How dare you? You're going to, King? Oh, man. You are going to come home, take your suspenders off, put yourself in the back straightening machine so you're not walking around like the hunchback of Notre Dame. You're going to go out and start playing ball with a kid, even when you're like 75, and a kid, come on, Daddy, this is a lot of fun. How come you're running slow? I'm Larry King. I need ginseng, or whatever the hell that crap, that phony baloney crap is you sell. Ginsana, freaking snake oil. Anyway, ginsana. Oh, yeah, does it work, Larry? Have yourself a big cup, because you're going to need it. And then you'll get on your show the next night, and you'll be interviewing some friend of yours, like Nancy Reagan, I'm sure, and before her eyes, as she looks like that deer caught in the headlights, you'll be spitting blood, and then you'll fall over forward dead. And Nancy Reagan will go, and she'll sort of have a dry heave spell, and the whole thing will be caught on videotape for the rest of time, just like the Jessica Savage thing, man. Did you ever see that? Did you see Jessica Savage? That poor drunken woman. And you too, David Letterman. You know something, Letterman? I know you keep your life quiet from everybody because, you know, you don't want anybody intruding. So how come we have to know the details of your disgusting sex life? You're having a kid? I didn't even think you had sex with anything. I know you like girls, but I didn't think you actually slept with them. What I've been hearing is you don't like anyone. You just sit there in your house, you take a pee break, and then you go back and brood in a chair somewhere. Staring straight ahead. And by the way, the least you can do for any child of yours is to get him braces and get them braces early, pal. Any kid growing up with teeth like yours, that kid's going to be hanging from a bathroom stall by his own T-shirt around his senior year in high school after someone one time too many says, hey, Mr. Alfred E. Newman, can I get some help with my locker? They'll find the kid just twisting from the rafters of an old barn. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We got, football player news coming up. News that even football players can understand. So if you're a football player, stick around. We got the news for you on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now, as a public service, the Phil Hendry Show presents news that even pro football players can understand. Here now is your Phil Hendry Show dumbass football player correspondent, Bud Dickman.
And here's news that you can understand. There's a man said that kids are fat, and they're gonna try for them not for to be the fat. jobs at all. Nobody has a job. A lady, when she has a baby, she may kill it because she hates it. Rosie O'Donnell likes girls. She likes them and has sex with them and everything. She doesn't want anybody to know. And another person doesn't like Jewish people or Negroes. Then the president, they had a fire in California. He came out to make sure they put it out. I don't understand this.
Let me see it, bud. Your washing machine may have a fat cycle. I don't know what that means either, okay? Just pass by it.
I don't know what it means.
I know you don't know. Just pass over it. Oh, Jesus, he's crying. Cut off the music. The sound events. What's wrong?
I don't understand it.
You don't have to understand it. It's fine. I don't understand it either. It's a stupid story. We'll move on to another one. Here, how about this one, bud? Monterey officials probe racially offensive email. You want to do that one?
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
I don't want
to. Oh, God. Bud.
I don't want to.
What's the matter, man? Don't you?
It's too hard.
You don't understand the big words?
Mm-mm.
By the way, you're listening to news that only pro football players can understand. All right, which word don't you understand?
That one.
Cartoon?
Oh, okay.
You don't know? You didn't know?
No, I just don't know how to pronounce it.
What's the other one?
Right there.
Mexican.
Yeah.
That's the people that come from Mexico.
Okay.
Do you want to try it now?
All right.
And now Bud Dickman with news that only pro football players can understand. Oh, get out of here. Get out of here. What a baby. He got upset because he saw a story here about girls that aren't wearing underpants. What is it with you? God. Sick cat. Let me read this. It makes me sad, too. All right, coming up, Vernon Dozier, and why, if you're coming around his house with orange juice and coffee and offers of warm clothing after his house burned down from the fire, just don't do it, because it makes him very angry. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I got a young man on the phone who says, I have to eat crow. So you want to talk to him? Or you want me to talk to him? Okay. Hi, how are you, son?
Yes, sir, I'm fine.
And this is R.C. Collins. You're a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy?
That is correct, yes, sir.
All right, why do you say, you told my producer Janice that I have to eat crow?
Mr. Hendry, I think that The fans have spoken for Kobe Bryant, and they clearly show their support for him. And I remember the interview you did with Mr. Mark Cuban, who is one of the NBA owners.
Right, owns the Dallas Mavericks.
And you treated him rather rudely, and you said that he said that fans would come back to see Kobe Bryant play, and you said that he believed the fans are stupid.
Well, I still believe that Mark Cuban thinks fans are stupid.
But Mr. Mark Cuban was trying to say the fans want to see Kobe to let him know that, you know, even if his wife is treating him badly, that the fans won't. And that's really our message to Kobe. We understand why he did what he did. He's a man. His domestic situation drove him into another woman's company. And I called up just to see whether or not you want to apologize to him, because he does have the fan support.
So the fans support Kobe Bryant because they're feeling sorry for him.
Well, I mean, absolutely. The fans understand the dilemma he's in. His wife, that his wife is not giving him sex, and probably since she had the baby, and you've completely and utterly misread the situation, thinking the fans are against Kobe. They're not.
Well, why don't you think the fans are against infidelity? Because that's what you're talking about here. Are you telling me that the fans understand and accept that Kobe needed to be unfaithful to his wife?
Well, no, not in this situation. They see why Kobe did sex with that girl. He didn't have any choice. The fans have spoken and have said, we understand that in certain situations...
In certain situations, it's okay to cheat on your wife.
In certain situations... First of all, it's not cheating on your wife.
Why not? I mean, you're... Let me ask you something, man, before we go any further. How old are you?
I'm a junior cadet, sir.
How old is that?
I'm 16.
All right. Forgive me, junior cadet. What do you know about this? What do you know about relations between a married man and a married woman?
Mr. Henry, it's not just me. The fans the other night, Sunday night, every time he hit the court, they cheered. Every time he hit a shot, they cheered. Every time he got a rebound. Because we understand that when you have to have sex... It's a lot like it. I don't want to be crude, but have you ever had to really go to the bathroom? And you run into the...
Of course.
You run into the room, you slam the door shut, you get your pants down, and it's like you just made it, and you sit down, and it's like, you feel better about it. And that's the way it is for a young man who's newly married, whose wives are now selfish because they had a baby, and they're more concerned with the baby than for to have sex with the husband.
Like I said, you're very, very young. You're not speaking with the particular authority about sex, are you?
Well, no, sir, but the fans have already said it. Mr. Bryant had no choice, and we all knew it. We knew it. That's why the fans support him. You've completely misread the situation. Kobe Bryant needed to be with a girl because his wife wouldn't be with him.
All right. And she wouldn't be with him because she had this baby?
Because she had the baby and because she was being selfish.
1-800-449. This is the guy that went, you want me to eat crow, huh?
Well, no, sir, but I'm interested to see if you'll apologize.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show. Now, the other night, Kobe Bryant took the floor, and everybody loves his ass, and everybody was cheering for him, and everybody was hooting and hollering for him, and everybody was this and that. Is it because fans basically understand that Kobe did something that he had to do? That sometimes it's necessary to be unfaithful to your wife? Because that's what you're saying. And I can tell you, as a longtime married guy, it's not necessary.
Well, I think you need to talk to me another 20 years, sir. I mean, I'm not married, but I am in the military academy, and I understand. Believe me, there's a lot of women who... are attracted to the uniforms that we wear and everything.
All right. Now let's talk a little bit here about you guys got together at Bradley Military Academy and you've made a T-shirt. And this is the thing that's garnered a lot of the interest. You got a T-shirt that says, when it comes to Kobe, shut your mouth, the fans have spoken. Is that right?
Yes, sir, that's correct. We've got it for sale at our bookstore at Bradley Military Academy as a way of basically telling people to shut up now about Kobe. He's the fan's favorite. Everybody knows it.
But you got a T-shirt that people are going to be wearing around saying, when it comes to Kobe, shut your mouth. And you guys were wearing this thing around, right?
Yes, sir.
Where were you guys wearing it?
Well, since Kobe Bryant really has been proven right, the fans still support him. So now every time we hear somebody badmouth Kobe, we're telling them to shut their holes. That's why we're calling your show, really. I mean... The junior cadet class of Bradley Military Preparatory Academy, with all due respect, Mr. Henry, are telling you to shut your mouth. And
okay, well, thank you very much.
No, but I mean, I don't mean anything by that, but we are going to be wearing these T-shirts around, but particularly in places where we are looking for some confrontation. We feel it's necessary. We drove into Pasadena, and there's a rape crisis center in Old Town, and I can tell you it's quite a sight to see 20 junior cadets ready to, you know, get in and rock and roll wearing our Kobe shirts that said, you know, Kobe's rights to shut your mouth shirts into a women's center. And
this is a rape crisis center?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand what you're dealing with? These are women who've been raped.
But it's still just, it's a women's center.
No, this is a women's crisis. It's a rape crisis center where women come to get counseling after being raped, and you guys are walking in there with a Kobe.
No, 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 you're missing under us. We're not encouraging rape. First of all, we don't think that's what Kobe did. But
you're walking into a rape crisis center with a shirt that says, Kobe was right, so shut your mouth.
Well, then the women didn't say a word. They just looked at us, so they knew better than to talk stuff because they know that we were right.
All right, there's a lot I could say here, RC, and we'll get to some of it. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. Kobe Bryant has been received back on the basketball courts of the NBA with warmth, with cheers, especially in the city of Los Angeles, with great gratitude. And this young man, R.C. Collins, a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy, is saying it's because most fans understand why Kobe had to cheat on his wife. That if a woman isn't providing sex, if she's too involved with a kid, if she...
If I could jump in, Mr. Henry, he was in Colorado by himself. You'll notice he probably wanted his wife to come with him. It's very possible he wanted his wife to come with him. And she didn't even come with him because... she's selfish. And so what is he supposed to do? You know...
Well, he didn't have to have sex with that woman.
It doesn't work that way. And again, let me reiterate. Kobe, you know, the fans support Kobe. So shut your mouth. That's what we're saying.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Since the fans are accepting Kobe Bryant back... since the fans understand that sometimes it's, you know, that it's necessary, it was necessary in his case to cheat on his wife because maybe she was cutting him off sexually, then why don't the rest of us shut our mouths? Now, I suppose that's a, you know, a matter of opinion and a matter of you know, a free speech issue. However, walking into a women's rape crisis center wearing a T-shirt that said, Kobe's been proven right, the fans still support him, So now shut your mouth sounds to me like an act of provocation. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line, naked. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Kobe Bryant was cheered at the Staples Center, and people love him, even though he's guilty of at least cheating on his wife, possibly raping a woman. R.C. Collins is on the line with us. He is a cadet at a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy, and you say it's because people understand the need that some men have to cheat on their wives?
Well, I think that's obvious, Mr. Henry. I'm just a cadet at a military academy, but I think I understand human nature enough to know that why else would they cheer him if they didn't believe in him as I believe in him? I don't think that Kobe would rape that woman. I think that he had sex with her, and that's bad, but it must have been his wife's fault.
What? How do you think you know Kobe?
We know Kobe. Those of us who've watched him know him. Yeah, I mean, you have...
Well, wait a minute. How do you know him? I mean, you're a fan.
Well, if you don't understand, you'll never understand. But we know Kobe Bryant. We know the NBA. Those of you who don't know the NBA and the players, then you're not gonna get it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So, in other words, based upon your knowledge and the fans' knowledge of Kobe, you know, you know that he needs to do this.
That is correct, yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686. Kobe Bryant might have raped a woman. He certainly cheated on his wife, but the fans cheered his ass on Sunday night at the Staples Center. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, first off, I'd like to comment about our junior cadet here. If that is the type of moral discipline we are instructing into our youth at our military academies...
Okay, anyway, did you have a comment you wanted to make about what he's saying?
I'm sorry?
Did you have a comment you wanted to make about what he's saying?
Yeah, why don't you get to the point? Why don't you get to the point?
It's preposterous, young man.
Preposterous? You don't even know how to say the word, let alone spell it, I'll bet.
Let me tell you something. You're a 16-year-old juvenile kid.
How do you spell preposterous?
I'm 25 years old. I've worked 3 years in law enforcement.
Let me tell you something. 3 years in law enforcement, and then you got fired?
When it comes to a rape issue, all right, for you and your little buddies to go into a rape center and wear your shirts in a rape center?
Well, but she's the one that said he raped her.
It doesn't even matter. Who are you to take it upon yourself to go into a clinic designed to help victims of a malicious act?
But everybody says that he's guilty, and everyone cheered him.
Everyone says he's guilty, but they cheered him.
Right, yeah.
I haven't heard anybody say anything about guilty. Sure, he's guilty of cheating on his wife. You know what? There's probably millions upon millions of men in this world that are guilty of the same thing. That's a moral decision.
What do you think about that?
Hold on, listen, Junior. Just take your chance. That's a decision that falls upon every man's shoulders if they're willing to break the vows that they took upon marriage.
Yeah, but everybody cheered him, including women.
That's because he's a sports icon, Junior.
Well, what are you talking about?
Of course they're going to cheer him. There are people that cheered Mike Tyson after he bit Holyfield's ear.
Well, that's not the same as
millions of people.
That's not the same.
Yeah, what about that? I mean, people cheer. They cheer them for their athletic feat, not their, perhaps sadistic morality.
Mr. Henry, you seem to think that this is just a guy thing. There was women cheering for Kobe Bryant, too. That means women support men having sex with hookers.
No. Correction, kid. They do not support men having sex with hookers. What they do support is the star player of their favorite team.
That's the point, RC. I like to watch professional football, but I'm the most critical guy when it comes to the private lives of those people.
Well, yeah, I've heard what you've said, Mr. Henry, and frankly, you're lucky to be walking around. I mean, you know...
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, a lot of those guys... would be
there. That kind of sounded like, you know, intimidation.
No, I'm not threatened, but he said stuff about Warren Sapp. I bet you Warren Sapp would go and beat ass on you.
Whatever. Okay, Michael, thanks for your call. I got to get up 1-800-449-8686. Move to another call. Margaret, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I don't see what his point is. I mean, he can't prove anything, the fact that if it happened or if it didn't happen. I mean...
he had sex with the girl because he's told everybody he did.
Well, if he had sex with the girl, then he's not accused of being a rapist.
I didn't say it. I said that he was cheating on his wife, and everybody says that's okay.
Well, I'm not saying it's okay for what he did, but we all have choices in life. You either decide to go the right way or the wrong way.
What's that supposed to mean?
Wait a minute,
Margaret. Do you even know what it is we're talking about?
Well,
this kid says that.
Excuse me, I can speak for myself, Mr. Henry. Kobe Bryant was cheered...
Excuse me, I'm the host of the show. Go ahead.
What an ass.
Okay, kid, watch your language or I'll throw you off the air.
Can I go ahead?
Go ahead.
Kobe Bryant was cheered the other night because people like him. Even if he cheated on his wife, they understand because it's like needing to go to the bathroom.
But that has nothing to do, I mean, they're cheering him because he's a great basketball player.
Has nothing to do
with his personal situation.
You know what it's like to need to go to the bathroom, right?
I think so.
Well, you know. I mean, everybody at one time or another has run into the bathroom and slammed the door and got their pants down in time.
Don't ask this lady these questions. Are you saying, though, that his wife was selfish for staying and not going with him?
Because she... if she'd have gone with him...
How does that make her selfish?
If she'd have gone with him, she would have put out, and he never would have been with the girl.
Excuse me? She would have put out?
Well, she would have had sex with him.
So that makes it okay for Kobe to go have sex with him just because his wife did not go with him?
That's the thing, Margaret. I'm saying...
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, but the lady is asking me, and I'm saying yeah, because Kobe wouldn't have had sex with that lady, only it feels like you need to go to the bathroom.
Oh, so she made him have sex because she didn't go with him to the trip?
That is my feeling.
Yeah, that's what this kid's been saying.
I mean, you know, really, you seriously got some psychiatric problems here.
Why? What?
I mean, think about it.
Are you married? No, ma'am. I'm a junior.
That's why. Thank God you're not married.
Well, wait a second. Why didn't she go with him?
Well, do you know their situation?
Well,
do you know their situation?
She's
their
not even
situation.
She's
you
not
don't
even,
know what's going on. They
she's
do
not
have
even
a
20
kid,
years
you know?
Old, and she should be with him to take care of his physical needs.
To take care of physical needs?
Yes, ma'am. Otherwise,
is that what women are for, to take care of their husband's physical needs?
She's got a stupid baby, and she never came with him.
A stupid baby?
A stupid baby.
Oh, wow. You're just quite... Where'd you graduate from?
I graduated from Annunciation School in Arcadia that I
went to. Well, you know, you need to go back and educate yourself a lot more.
Why? I mean, tell me what I'm saying.
You're saying here she is. It's her fault because she did not go to his trip. He had sex with this girl because it's her fault because she didn't go to the trip.
Yes, ma'am. He's an all-star basketball player who needs to have his... The regular physical.
Well, you know what?
Draining.
There's your hand that you can beat off. You don't need to have another woman.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot. He's got a wife, and the guy's still got to go to Mrs. Thumb and her four daughters. Thanks
so
a lot.
So is that what women are for?
Oh, come on.
Is that what you're
Hold
saying
on
women
for a
are
minute.
For?
Well, if that's why
what
I
What are women are for, then?
Well, what,
no wonder you're not married.
Well, why did he get married? That stupid
well,
baby...
possibly because he loves her. I mean, don't you do stupid things?
Ma'am, that stupid baby almost ruined the Lakers season. All on account of a dumb baby that they did not have to have. They could have waited a few years, but she probably wanted her dumb kid so she doesn't go to Colorado and he's there with the white girl.
But you know what? It doesn't happen the way you always think. I mean, you always assume that
I hate that baby. And every Laker fan hates the Kobe Bryant baby. We hate it.
Now, wait a second.
You hate it.
Wait a
well,
minute.
You know what? You need to find God because, obviously, hate is the biggest issue with you.
But, ma'am, that baby messed up Kobe's career. I hate it. I hate it so much.
You have a problem.
You got a serious problem.
God
you
hates...
You have a sick mind.
Really?
God hates
you
Kobe's baby.
You need God. That's what you need.
Ma'am, I think...
Nothing's going to save you but God.
You can't separate the man from the athlete. You cheer for Kobe. You cheer for him as a basketball player.
As a basketball player.
And a guy
player.
That needs to get his ashes hauled by a white girl.
As
it's
a basketball player.
And he had a stupid kid. I'll say it again. The baby's stupid.
You have
oh, shut
kids?
Up. Now, he's a 16-year-old lady. He's an idiot.
Oh.
Thank you, ma'am, very much for your call. Good points, Margaret.
Thank you.
What?
That baby sucks ape.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Kobe Bryant's wife had a baby. She stayed home with it, and that forced Kobe to look for sex with another woman. Is it Vanessa Bryant? And ultimately, is it the baby's fault? And is Kobe the victim here? The fans cheered him on the other night. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry
the
Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We're talking with a young man, R.C. Collins. He's made up some T-shirts he and his buddies wore into a women's rape crisis counseling center that say, the fans support Kobe, so shut your mouths. Now, and you're there, R.C.?
Yes, sir.
You were talking about Kobe's baby being the cause of this problem, because if they hadn't had the baby, Vanessa wouldn't have stayed home, and if Vanessa doesn't stay home, then he doesn't cheat on her.
Well, I really think it's true, Mr. Henry. We're always hearing about how good babies are, but we never do hear how bad babies will be, too. My father, to give an example, my father used to enjoy me and liked having me live with him until some stupid baby came along that my stepmother squished out, and then I had to go away to school. And so this happens to a lot of kids. Your father leaves your mom because she's not... you know, good looking anymore or whatever, and he meets a stepmother who's better looking, and my stepmom's really good looking, and I understand, but then they made a baby, and now they send me away to school, and they want their baby to be around, and it does cause anger, and there's a reason why it causes anger, because the next thing you know, the baby gets all the attention, and you're hated, and you're hated and stuff, like Kobe Bryant. And when I go home, I have to say, I do have an anger issue.
Well, you told me something more than that, though. When you go home to visit your father and your stepmother, and you see that baby, what'd you say you did?
I said that I there's some hot dog tongs in that drawer, and I put the kid's head in them.
Are you hurting that child?
No, I just...
You just put hot dog tongs around the baby's head, and what?
I fantasize about stuff.
Fantasize about what? Tell me.
I just, you know, fantasize like I've got his head in hot dog tongs and over an even heat in the barbecue. But I would never do that. But how dare Kobe's baby come into this life and mess up another chance at a Laker championship ring right when we're making the big run? It's better Kobe have sex with a white chick than for him to go home and put his kid's head in hot dog tongs, because I'm sure that he's thought about it.
Are you kidding me?
No, sir.
You're telling me that Kobe Bryant is so angry and jealous of his new baby that he goes home and puts its head in hot dog tongs?
I believe it's possible, yes, Mr. Henry. And so, rather than that, he went and had sex with a white girl, and probably just in time.
Well, I am going to be looking forward to seeing news in the newspaper about any baby that dies with his head in hot dog tongs, because you know I'll be looking for you.
Mr. Henry, don't threaten me. I'm a future military cadet. I can assure you that there are things I'm learning now in my senior year self-defense class that will leave you dying with your mouth full of blood. So please don't even...
Okay, so now you're threatening me. You put a baby's head in hot dog tongs. You threaten me with death with my, blood in my mouth. And you're saying that Kobe Bryant goes home and puts his kid's head in hot dog tongs. I think what we're talking about here is potential baby abuse, child abuse.
I think what we're talking about here is a husband being neglected by his wife because of some stupid, stupid, stupid baby what they made, and he wants to go home and stick the kid's head on a spit. I'd like to put Kobe's baby in a washing machine on a spin cycle. That'd be so neat.
God! Good God, kid!
Every Laker fan would. Sometimes when my baby sister's alone, I sneak up on her and scare her so bad she craps her diaper, and I just point at her and laugh. And I would do it to Kobe's baby, too, if I could get near it.
Okay, kid, I'm now going to hang up on you because you're a sick, twisted piece of crap, okay?
Only piece of crap would be in my kid's sister's diaper, and I...
There's a kid, he hates Kobe's baby, and he'd like to put it in a washing machine on spin cycle. Because it's Kobe's baby that caused him to cheat and ultimately get him into all this trouble. Our number here on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. It's a sick and twist. What do you want?
Mr. Henry, I have more girls after me than flies on a caribou's ass, so you can put that in your pipe and smoke it too.
One 800 449 8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The last gasp before the death of radio. The Phil Henry Show is back.
The voice of R.C. Collins was actually performed by Phil Henry, the people calling, real, unprompted, unpaid people who believed R.C. to be a real person, saying that Kobe Bryant, most of the fans forgive him for cheating on his wife because the wife stayed at home with, quote, that stupid, stupid baby. And R.C. has a stepsister, a little baby infant stepsister, whose head he puts in barbecue tongs. He also said he'd like to put his stepsister into a washing machine and put it on spin cycle. Thank you very much, RC. That was very nice.
Glad you enjoyed it.
All right. Now, it's time for a flashback, but first I want to tell you about a very exciting thing that'll be coming your way here on the Phil Henry Show. You know, the end of the year is kind of fun. We do our top 100 news stories of the year. We feature segments of interviews from those stories, interviews, characters, you know, made-up voices, whatever the hell you want to call it. And, of course, that we will do at the end of the year. We also now have another new feature we're very excited to tell you about, and it will be broadcast live from the Kodak Theater in Hollywood, the site of the Academy Awards. That's right, the first annual Phil Hendry Show Dumbass of the Year Awards. We will be giving out a variety of dumbasses to people in 10 different categories. First, there will be the Dumbass of the Year Award in sports, the Dumbass of the Year Award African American Division, Dumbass of the Year Award Caucasian Division, Dumbass of the Year Politics, Dumbass of the Year Movie Star Division, Dumbass of the Year Television Star Division, the Music Division, Dumbass of the Year Male and Female, Dumbass of the Year Youth, and then the overall reigning champion, Dumbass of the Year, will be the final presentation of our show on December the 23rd, tentatively scheduled 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, live from the Kodak Theater. Some of the presenters, we are trying to get Margaret Gray. I don't know if we can do it. Her agent has not returned my phone calls. We are also going to try to get Steve Bozell, but apparently he's in counseling, doing some therapies on a weekend retreat. We're trying to also get Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, but he may be opening another restaurant that weekend. Also, Don Berman of Channel 19 News may be able to make it if the palimony trial that the paternity suit he's been hit with, isn't in court that day. So anyway, look forward to it. We are excited about it. The Phil Hendry Show's first annual Dumbass of the Year Awards, December 23rd, right here on these stations. Also, our Best of 2003 CD is coming out, The Death of Talk Radio, available for pre-order now. Please go to www.philhendryshow.com. News very shortly of a personal appearance. Do some signings, meet you guys. Haven't seen you guys in like 2 years, and I don't know, maybe you don't want to see me, but I'd like to see you. And we do have the cool CD to sell. It's a double CD. All right, from our show yesterday, Steve Bozell was on. Stephen Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, who hired his own daughter to dance at a bachelor party. His own 16-year-old daughter to dance at a bachelor party because he wanted to keep it clean and family-like. He told her to only wear a one-piece. She wore a two-piece. She was fondled, and he says it's her fault.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I want to make a comment to the gentleman.
Yes, sir.
You asked your daughter to dance for you. Please don't do that on my cell phone.
You what?
You asked your daughter to dance for you.
No.
But you asked her to dance jazz and classical and
yes,
whatnot.
Sir.
Is that correct?
That is correct, sir. But not for me. That's going to be for my nephew.
Wait a minute. Why would you ask her to wear a bathing suit to dance jazz and classical?
Because if you know anything about jazz dance, that's how they do it.
Jazz dancers wear a one-piece with leotards.
That's exactly right. That's exactly correct. I didn't ask her to wear a two-piece. I said you were a one-piece.
Okay, well,
I didn't say go over there and get felled up by Brian Husgrove either.
You're mentioning names that I could get sued.
I'm sorry?
You're mentioning people's names that I could get sued.
For what?
You're saying this guy felt your daughter up, Brian Husgrove. Who the hell is he? I don't know.
Well, as far as that...
Both of you guys are full of crap.
If you knew he felt your daughter up and you haven't called the cops, that's child molestation, brother.
Wait a second. Isn't it reasonable for him to expect that at a bachelor party? Because women always come in with their foul ideas.
That doesn't matter, brother. Does not matter. She is 16 years old, and he put her hands on her.
That's right. You call the cops, and you have the guy put in jail. And then buy your daughter a decent dance outfit. And
you know what strikes me as funny is why does this man know so much about jazz dance? Do you know jazz dance, sir?
Yes, I do.
Really?
As a matter of fact, I consider myself well versed as far as music and dance concerns.
All right, then you know the horror instinct is brought out by this.
That's a bunch of baloney.
What?
Okay,
you're
smoking way too much crack, brother. Way too much crack. You need to put the pipe down and think about what you've done.
Well,
okay, you've pimped your daughter out. And basically allowed this guy to molest her
right
in front of several of your friends. Okay? And whether it be at a bachelor party or not, she's 16 for one and should never have been asked to dance. Okay? You pimped her.
Well, you're right about one thing that I have.
I'm right about both of them.
Well, I have.
Okay? You've got a child molester for a friend, and if you're protecting him, that makes you party to the child molestation. And as far as I'm concerned,
you sound like an intelligent man, but let me ask you something and try to deny. We have compiled numerous recordings that brings out the horror. And listen to this one, please. This is a classic example.
What is this? What is this?
These are other songs that are played. This is what these strippers dance to, and all the women that, you know, break out the whipped cream.
Wait a minute. Wait. Are you telling me that this song is played at a bachelor party you go to?
Well, of course. Isn't it the ones you go to?
Not lately, no.
You're spending way too much time by yourself, youngin. Way too much time.
Way too much time by myself. I was just wondering.
If you honestly think that playing music would bring out, quote, a whore instinct in women, then you have a very sick,
right,
twisted sense about women. Okay?
I'll tell you what, sir.
Very
women,
sick and twisted.
Women hear this and their legs are like flapping wings.
I don't think so. I'll have you know, me and my wife grew up watching the Pink Panther, and at no point in our 11 or 12 years of marriage almost has she ever heard any one of those songs and dropped her underwear.
Well, let me ask
Never.
You this. What do you think Pink Panther stands for? Yeah.
It's,
now you start to put two and two together.
Are you ready for this guy? How about this guy? What do we think Pink Panther stands for?
Oh, both of you can drop straight down to Hades.
Phil Hendry Show.
How many gold?
Yeah. What do you think Pink Panther stands for, man? So you see, if you play the Pink Panther theme, it'll bring out the whore instinct in most women. That's Steve Bozell, baby. And he's prominently featured on our Best of the Year 2003 CD as well. Oh, by the way, this is I don't know if I saw this before or not, but you know this website, Snopes.com? Now, Snopes is actually, we've linked it on our site because it's a great rumor debunking website. And it came into particular favor after 9/11 when people wanted to know, what is all this bull crap? Did the face of the devil actually come out in the smoke coming out of the World Trade Center? Was there really an airplane photograph from the roof of the thing before the FBI found the camera on the ground? And it's the stupidest, people got no life, man. They got nothing better to do than to, you know, disseminate misinformation. And this is a website that is run by, I believe it's a husband and wife team, and they spend their time debunking this crap. So guess who made it onto Snopes.com? Steve Bozell. Somebody actually wanted to know whether a California man sued Secretary of Homeland Security Tom Ridge for emotional distress after duct taping his privates. And Snopes goes on to say, no, it is not true. No resident did. Steve Bozell is the creation of talk radio host Phil Hendry, whose stock and trade is inventing outrageous guests with whom he converses on his show. And one of his recurring characters is Steve Bozell, owner of B&B Construction, who regularly appears on Hendry's show to discuss his latest loony lawsuit. And, the whole bit was about Steve going on and on about how he's going to sue Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge because Ridge said, get duct tape. And Steve thought, you know, if we're going to be protecting things, we ought to be protecting our private area because how are we going to repopulate the earth after the chemical war attacks and all the nuclear attacks? So Steve wrapped his thing and the other assorted items down there in duct tape like a complete dumbass. And then, when he had to peel it off, that's when he decided he's going to sue Ridge. So that's it. And it's nuts. Scott Peterson will put on a DNA expert. There's a single strand of hair. Could it be the smoking gun in the Lacey Peterson murder case? Mark Garagos may believe the hair is a key to the prosecutor's theory that Peterson killed his wife and dumped her body in San Francisco Bay. Prosecutors will try to prove the hair was Lacey Peterson's and end up in the boat after she was dead. So what about this hair? Where'd they find it? Garagos will offer an innocent explanation for the apparent incriminating hair analysts predict. He could have hugged her goodbye and the hair transferred to his clothes or something he was carrying. Where'd they find the hair? They found her hair in the boat, and my understanding is he didn't tell anybody that he purchased the boat. But that doesn't mean that he didn't tell her. It doesn't mean that he didn't tell her. One of the defense attorneys, they had the mother of Lacey Peterson on the stand, and she said it was very unusual. Scott didn't say anything about buying a boat, especially knowing that his stepfather is an avid fisherman and would have been interested in knowing about the purchase of the boat. And this guy Garagos comes back and says, well, so he didn't tell you about buying the boat? No, he did not. Does he tell you about every time he has a cleaning woman come in? Well, no, he doesn't. Does he tell you every time he has a gardener come over? No, he doesn't. Does he tell you? So Garagos blew that right out of the water. I mean, it was pretty good. He exploded that into 85 million little pieces. But this guy's going to go down for the count. There's no question. There's no question that however slick and good Mark Garagos is, he hitched his wagon to a rocket ship right nose first into the desert, baby. Garagos, this is the wrong case, baby. It ain't OJ, man. I know you were hoping to make Scott your OJ. It ain't going to happen. Number one, you ain't half the attorney Johnny Cochran is. That's number one. And you know it, and everybody else knows it. Number two, your boy is dumber than OJ. You understand? OJ is slick, smart, quick, had the real good team, has the whole thing getting. Your boy is a psychopath who's an idiot. I mean, he didn't cover up the evidence. I don't think OJ's a psychopath. I think OJ was a homicidal maniac that night, but I don't think his whole life is like that. I think that this guy, Peterson, if they didn't get him after this one, he would have gone on and killed that other girl, Amber Fry. He would have killed her. She would have wound up in the bay, too. Don't even worry about it. You know that nice, beautiful head with the braces in that nude picture? They would have found a head with the braces still in her mouth. And that's it. Hey, get a backstage pass to get all of the great stuff in our comedy archives, including that last rant about headless women. $6.95 a month, www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. You may even find the soundtrack to the Reagan movie in there. I'm only kidding. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
A week later, picking up the pieces, President Bush today was talking to people who survived the wildfires of Southern California. He was in San Diego. It's been a week or so. People are sifting through the debris. We have on the line a man whose home was in the Carter Ranch area of Divine. Mr. Vernon Dozier, how are you, sir?
Thank you, sir.
And Mr. Dozier, you lived in the Santa Clarita Valley, but you commute to South Pasadena?
Yes, sir, that is correct. I'm a varsity football coach as well as a mathematics teacher at Belmar Academy.
How's it been going?
Well, it's been rough. We had a 2,900-square-foot home, my wife and I. We moved into 2 years ago, and the fire took it last week.
You were described to me as being a little bitter by this experience, right? We often hear people saying they're bucking up and they're carrying on. Do you feel that way?
I mean, we are bucking up and carrying on. We've got some neighbors here who have pushed it a little bit with us, and the reason why I say that is not all the homes in our neighborhood were taken. In fact, there were four. Mine was one of four on our street. When there were some, probably on our street, we've got about 11 homes, and four of them were taken on our street, and only one other, so there were only five homes taken, the whole subdivision. And I'm out there last weekend. We're digging through the debris, and my neighbor from across the street comes over with, her name's Diane Hobart. She brought over coffee and orange juice and some banana bread, and she's got this puppy dog look on her face. And boy, I said to myself, man, she is really asking for it, you know.
What happened? This incident took place. She came over to you while you and your wife were sweeping up?
That is correct.
Well, what did she do to provoke you?
Well, first of all, this is a family across the street. We have a Christmas tree decoration competition every year. You're supposed to use homemade decorations. They lie, and they have lied continuously, and they are liars. They don't use homemade. They buy their stuff, I think, at Home Depot, and then they win, and... So now they're liars. They win. Their home is still standing, and mine's burned to the ground. So my wife and I, we never miss a Sunday at church. She and her husband are known to be kind of wild. They have a lot of parties. And which home burns down? My home does. So, you know, when we saw her coming across the street with a tray full of coffee and orange juice, Mr.
What did you do?
I took the tray, First of all, I said to her, I said, you got a lot of nerve. And I took the tray with the coffee and the orange juice, and I walked it back across the street to her home, and I threw it into one of her garbage cans.
All right, so you were angry. This woman came over. Do you think she was doing this to show you up? The lady came over. There were a lot of reports of people with...
No, Mr. Henry, please understand something. My home burned to the ground. Everything I had was lost. I go to church. I coach young people. I take a...
So you were angry with her and her husband because they survived and you didn't?
I'm angry because all of these... No, I don't care. But what you shouldn't do is after a man's home burns straight to the ground, or after a man's home is taken in a hurricane, or after a man's home is taken in a tornado, or after a man's home is taken in a blizzard, you never ever come over to their house with coffee and orange juice. And while you're standing there, you know, sweeping your driveway off, and I'm going through ash and perhaps the ashes of my dog who died. We had a beautiful collie, and she's coming over to my house that burned down and trying to score points with, you know, brownie points with Jesus H. Christ himself by bringing me coffee. These people are not going to pave their road to heaven with me in my house. I am not going to be a part of the pavement of their road to heaven. And my house isn't, and the ashes of my dead dog won't be either.
Look, there have been a lot of people, though, Mr. Dozier. The shelters, the American Red Cross, the United Way, the churches, a lot of people helping out. Are you saying they help out because they're just trying to score brownie points with God?
I don't know. The American Red Cross, United Way, and all of them, you know, if they want to go into business to make themselves feel superior to the rest of us that got burned out and run out, and these neighbors, I had a guy come over the other day, and he says, Mr. Dozier, if you want, you can borrow one of my larger trash barrels for all that burned garbage. See, so he's coming over, and he's trying to score his brownie points with Jesus H. Christ, and I told him, I said, please understand what I'm about to say to you. Get away from me, and take your trash barrel, and shove it.
All right, so the anger issue, right?
Mr. Henry, these bastards are all proud that their houses are still standing. They want to feel superior by coming over, walking through the ashes of my dream with their GD trash barrels and their coffee.
All right, Vernon Dozier with us, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. For those of you out there who come over with coffee and orange juice and banana bread and, you know, you think you're being neighborly, Mr. Dozier is saying really what you're doing is, quote, you're asking for it. You're asking for it, end quote. I don't mean to laugh, sir, but it's such a bizarre, in my opinion, a bizarre sentiment to have.
Have you ever had a home burned down, sir?
No, sir, I have not.
All right, well, then I would suggest that you go through that experience before you judge me, because the last thing you want to see when your home is burnt to the ground and everything you ever dreamed of is there, blackened and turned completely into carbon, an animal that you loved very much, mementos that you loved, photographs that you loved, and across the street, here's the guy, here's someone's house that's still standing, and he's watering his lawn. And he's picking his ass, and he's...
Please watch your language, sir.
I'm sorry. But, you know, he's watering his lawn, and then he sends his wife over so they can score brownie points with Jesus Christ. Hey, here's some coffee, here's some donuts. Just get away from me. Just please, just get away from me. Don't even make eye contact with me. Get away.
What are you angry about? I don't understand.
What am I angry about?
What are you angry... I mean, in other words, they bring over coffee, they bring...
Because they've got a house that's still standing, and I'm standing in the ashes of my dream. I'm a churchgoer. I work with children. I didn't lie like they are liars on the decorations, the Christmas tree decorations.
Well, did you have Christmas tree decorations so you could score brownie points with Jesus?
No, no, sir. No, I do not. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore.
I really don't.
I mean, are you saying you've given up your belief in God, or...
No, I haven't given up my belief in God, no, I haven't. I don't give a sweet Jesus Christ. I don't care whether there's a God or not. I believe in him, but, I mean, it doesn't make any difference to me. My home is burned down. And,
All right, we're going to get to, because I know therapeutically, and I talked with Sandy Blaine, who is a lady, she is a therapist that you were working with.
Yes, sir.
And you guys have come up with the 5 points... that people should know about the recent fire losses. And I want to get into those before we take a break. I want to give our number out, okay?
Yes, sir.
We're talking with Vernon Dozier. His home burned to the ground in the one of the Carter Ranch fire last week. And he is saying that coming over with coffee and donuts, if you're a neighbor and your home didn't burn down, or if you're a neighbor and your home didn't get blown over in the tornado or whatever, and you go over to somebody's house whose home did burn down, don't do it, because it's like you're rubbing your good luck in their faces. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Now, you worked with Dr. Blaine on what you call 4 points about the recent fire losses, right?
That is correct, sir, and I wrote most of them.
All right, number one, you are asking people, if you didn't lose your home in the fire, to not make direct eye contact with anyone who did. You say they're risking a beating.
That is correct.
Can you explain that?
Well, I mean, I don't think it needs any explaining. If you swing into your driveway in your Jaguar or your BMW, you know, and you swing across the street is your neighbor whose home is burnt to the ground, don't you dare make eye contact with me, because I'll come over and I'll turn that BMW into, before your very eyes, and in a very quick moment, in a very quick time, I will turn it into just a variety of metal parts. Now that's you know.
All right, okay. So that's a violent response.
No, sir, it is not a violent response. I'm trying to tell.
Well, you're telling people if they make eye contact with you, you'll tear their car apart. All right, what's number two?
Number two is, don't offer clothing or coffee or orange juice or blankets just because you want to know what it felt like to be a sip.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Don't offer clothing or coffee or orange juice or blankets just because you want to know what it felt like to be a settler in the Old West coming upon an impoverished Indian tribe. We're not impoverished Indians. I'm not an Indian. I'm a white man. And my home got burned down. But all of these neighbors want to corral with blankets and say, here's some for the woman. And then, like I'm a god, like I'm an Indian.
Are you racist, sir?
No, sir, I am not.
Well, you say the term Indian like it is a something odious.
I'm not an Indian to be treated like an Indian on an Indian reservation. My neighbors are coming around saying, they might as well say, have you been inoculated for the smallpox? Are your people okay? It'll be a long winter. Listen, Jack, I got my own F-150 truck, okay? I haul more ass in that thing.
All right, let me take some phone calls. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Gene. Hi, Gene. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Mr. Vernon Dozier.
I was just listening to what Mr. Dozier was saying. He said he went to church all the time. He worked with children. He did this, that,
yes,
and the other.
Yes, ma'am. I'm a church-going man.
But I don't think he's a Christian in any way whatsoever to do his neighbors like that. They couldn't have it because his house burned and theirs didn't.
Ma'am,
I think you ought to be ashamed of self.
What am I doing to them? They're doing
You're
it to me.
They're not doing anything to you. They're trying to help you. They feel terrible that your home burned. Then if you'd have that kind of an attitude,
how do you know
I
they
think
feel
it's terrible.
Ma'am,
terrible.
They come over and they
No,
bring
they
over,
were not trying to rub it in your face.
They bring me a tarp. They might as well come over with a tarp and say, build yourself a teepee.
We're supposed to help each other in trouble.
Well, ma'am, that's
we're
true.
We're supposed to help each other.
That is true, Gene.
Well, but wait a minute, Mr. Henry.
I'd be ashamed, now, sir, to have that attitude.
Ma'am, it's true that we're supposed to help each other in trouble. But you don't sit on a man's face and rub it in it. You know,
no,
rub
they
it right
didn't.
In the
That was
Do
not their attitude.
Do you use that kind of an analogy with this lady?
What?
If their home burned, wouldn't you take them something and try to help them?
I wouldn't, but I wouldn't go over there and walk around going, my house ain't burned,
Were they doing that?
Well, no,
they were as shocked as you were.
There was a horrible fire, and there were many people who were displaced.
Well, of course it was.
Well,
it was terrible.
Gene, you never, ever...
The whole time that fire was going on, I prayed for the people
You never, ever park your ass in a man's face, rub it around...
Okay, don't use that kind of an analogy on my show, please.
If I were you, I'd be ashamed. Those people were... They felt awful that other people lost their homes.
Ma'am, I can tell you, if some woman saunters over to my house in her capri pants and her sad sack face, I would stick those tarts right up her rosy red nose.
You are not a Christian.
Ma'am,
you are not a Christian.
I go to church, and I give money and all of that. Hello? She hung up. See, that's just like the... I bet you she'd come over. Oh, man, I can't wait for her to come over with a plate full of those Rice Krispies. Oh, I mean, I am telling you.
Look, at the lady made a point. We help our neighbors. Don't we help our neighbors? Don't we?
You want to help me? Just keep your ice, and those Ice Krispie squares, those rice. Somebody came over those. I'm standing there in the middle of a burned-out home, a dead animal somewhere in the ashes, and someone came over and said, do you want some Rice Krispie squares?
All right, sir. 1-800-449-8686. I have to take a break. Mr. Vernon Dozier is with us. His home burned in the Carter Ranch fire last week. So many people lost their homes, and this man is saying the last thing he wants is for his neighbors who didn't lose their homes. He doesn't want them coming around with orange juice, coffee, and Rice Krispie squares, rubbing his face in their good fortune. He just assumed they turn around and not even make eye contact with him. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You were telling me, I'm talking with Vernon Dozier, one of many Californians who lost their home last week. You were telling me, what's the particularly maddening thing?
Well, the thing that they do, what, these people whose homes didn't burn down, and our homes did burn down, and my wife and I are shoveling the ash into a wheelbarrow. We're trying to find pictures, and meanwhile, I can hear them in there, and it'll be about 4 o'clock on a Sunday night, and I can smell, you know, pot roast, and I can hear the NFL Fox Sunday, which I always enjoyed, Terry Bradshaw and all of them, and I can hear the men laughing and ha-ha, and they're slapping their knees and having fun. And meanwhile, we're rooting in a pile of ashes to find our wedding ring. And then they come over and ask me if I need to use their phone to make some calls. Well, let me tell you what, they can piss off because God ain't watching. You know, maybe if God is watching, then I'll do them a favor and I'll use their phone.
Is it possible these people are doing something because they really want to?
If they really wanted to, then they wouldn't be showing off how their house still works, how it ain't all burned up.
Because the guy's watching football on Sunday afternoon?
And he's all, ha ha, you know, and I saw him walking into his house. He was carrying, it must have been a 24-pack of Heineken. They also had two big bags of them Lay's baked chips. Jesus.
All right, let me go over here to Diane, I think. Diane, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to give this man some advice, because I have been where he is. I have lost everything I own.
In a fire?
And I am raised Catholic, and I'm going to tell you what, the Lord never puts more on you than you can handle.
Oh, don't give me that. Don't give me that, because the other people didn't get their home burned down, lady. No, the other people didn't get... Don't give me that whole neighbor thing.
I would crawl up. You know what? You ain't no Christian.
Oh, yeah?
You are far from Christian.
Neither are you. You can't judge. Jesus said don't judge.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
I got you too, buddy.
I got you.
I got
Jesus
you
said, don't judge.
You
I got you.
Something.
You're burning in hell.
Shut up and listen.
You just told me to shut up. That ain't Christian either.
I'm trying to help you get through a hard time. I've been where you are. I've
you
lost everything I've owned.
In a fire?
Stuff that can't be replaced.
In a fire?
I've lost.
No, she didn't. That's not in a fire.
I've lost family. I've lost animals.
Wait a minute. Diane, did you lose your stuff in a fire? Hello, did you lose your stuff in a fire?
I lost my stuff in a hurricane.
In a hurricane. That's what you
just
were saying, Mr. Dozier.
A fire.
Okay, and did people come around?
Fire.
All right, did people come around like a pain in the ass and say, you want some orange juice?
My neighbor was supportive of me and helped me get through a hard time where I wanted to crawl up and die.
What did they do?
Because I lost stuff that I couldn't replace.
What did they do?
They brought me food. They helped me get clothing. They helped me get furniture. They were there for me. They gave me anything I needed. They offered a roof over my head. They gave me anything I want. And if it weren't for my neighbors, I would have crawled up in a corner and
died. And you know why they did that? Because they want to make themselves feel superior to you.
That's
and
not
so after,
true.
After
that
they gave
is
you the,
not
yes, ma'am.
True, buddy.
After they
no,
gave you the clothes,
not.
Then they go home and talk about, oh, that poor Diane, what a pathetic mess
that
she
is. That's not
and,
true.
And let's go to church and tell
like
the preacher what we've done.
A little while ago, the people who didn't lose their stuff, they're not laughing at you because you did. They feel bad You know, they didn't lose their stuff. They have no control over this fire.
Your neighbor was laughing at the fact. Guess
what? They didn't ask for God to burn your house down.
Ma'am, when you took those clothes, your neighbors were laughing, saying, look at Diane, she's wearing something I threw away 3 years ago.
Because I'm going to tell you right now,
okay.
Those neighbors and I are still friends.
As long as they're taking care of you.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Oh, they think you're the white trash down the street.
Come on, there's no need to start calling people names, all right?
Well, no, I'm just saying that's what the neighbors think of her.
All right, listen, Diane.
That is so not true.
And
if anybody's the white trash, it's you talking to your neighbors the way you are.
All right, listen, Diane, thank you very much. Good point and good perspective. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Can we get our guests to quit belching on the air? Because I'd really appreciate that a lot. His name is Vernon Dozier. You would think that the man would appreciate the kindness of his neighbors coming over after his home burned to the ground last week. But instead, he is resentful of them. He says, don't make eye contact with them. And if you come over with orange juice, as one neighbor did, she came over with orange juice and coffee on a tray. He took the tray, walked it back across the street to her house, and threw it into one of her garbage cans. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over.
The Phil Hendry Show with Phil Hendry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry.
All right, I'm talking with Vernon Dozier. Mr. Dozier, your home burned down last week. The fires were terrible in California. You forced a confrontation with a neighbor. You went out and bought a bag of marshmallows and gave it to him. Isn't that correct?
Well, you know, I said to him, next time you watch my home burn, why don't you have yourself a good time? You know, this guy is, I'll tell you something right now. I'm speechless at the way some people want to sit around and watch your home burn like they're watching, like they're at the Universal Amphitheater watching a Elton John reunion tour or something. You know, just sitting there like old people rocking back and forth and watching a home burn to the ground. Jesus H.
All right, 1-800. I can't talk you out of this stuff. 1-800-449.
Well, you couldn't talk me out of it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Where are we going here? Let's go to Rick. Yes, Rick, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Yeah, I'd like to say that you're totally ludicrous. These people have opened their hearts, opened their minds, you know, and we've had people out here with devastating tornadoes.
Well, that's the worst. People come around trying to feel superior.
Oh, they're not feeling superior. They're feeling Christian. And
you need to
quit being so self-centered and so materialistic that you think that that house is the only thing that anybody's worried about.
Oh, wait a minute.
You know,
it's easy for you to say when you got your own house, sir.
Oh,
see?
Yeah, well, we didn't have when we lost to do a tornado.
And I'll tell you something.
Our neighbors came out, the whole town came out and helped the people that lost everything. So don't tell me anything. And those houses didn't mean a damn thing to
you. I can't hear you.
Can you turn him up? I can't hear this guy. All right, sir, thank you very much. Your car phone is not too good. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Vernon Dozier, lost his home in the fires last week. The guy made a point, and Jared, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, the guy made a point, Mr. Dozier, about being materialistic.
Hey, wait. You're calling me materialistic. They're coming over to my house with banana bread, and the only thing that didn't burn in my house, by the way, was the wishing well I had out in the backyard. And I dragged that thing over to that lion whore that lives across the street, and I set it on fire in her driveway, and I said, there, it's all gone now. You happy?
That lying whore.
That's right.
That's exactly.
This is a woman that brought over banana bread, orange juice, and coffee, and she's a whore?
That's exactly. You're not going to make me feel guilty either for saying it, Mr. Henry, so don't keep repeating it over and over again. I said it, and I believe it.
Jared, go ahead.
Is this guy for real?
I mean, I can't believe you would call a neighbor who wanted...
Look, until your home burns to the ground, my friend, don't start judging me. Until you're sifted through the ashes, don't start judging me.
That's what you've been doing since you've been on the air, is judging other people. Who are you talking about?
Who am I speaking with?
This is one of my callers.
You're who, Jared?
That's right.
Like that pain in the ass in the Subway commercials?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, at least he's helping people, not like you.
Oh, he's helping people, huh?
That's right.
He got fat to help people?
That's right.
Are you saying anything else besides that's right? I'm going to come over there and I'm going to take one of your eyes out with a gun.
Okay, look it, man. If you're angry, you're angry.
Yeah, I got a question for you. Seriously.
Oh, good. You got a question for me, yeah? Okay,
I
go ahead.
Do.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's two plus two? Four.
You're upset about people coming over and helping you. Now,
taking 40 minutes to figure that one out. Huh?
Are you going to let me finish?
Well, you're asking me a question that you didn't have to listen 40 minutes to get the answer to. Jesus.
So you're pissed off that people are watching NFL football. What do you want them to do? Would you rather them call the electric company, have their lights turned out, or what do you want them to do?
I'd like them to get the hell out of there while I'm cleaning up my house and quit rubbing my face in it, that's all. Because as long as I can smell pot roast, I can smell...
Do you expect the world to stop?
Who is this man, Mr. Henry?
His name is Jared. He's a caller.
I don't.
Are you not listening, or you can't hear yourself?
No, it's just I don't want to talk to you anymore, because if I keep talking to you, I'm going to want to find you, and if I want to find you, then that
boy. Look, you got to answer the man's questions.
Can I ask a question? Is this Tony Robbins?
No, it's your dad.
You know what? You sound like Tony Robbins. I don't need a pep talk, Jared, okay?
Hello? Well, he hung up, and he called you your dad.
I heard him.
He's your dad.
I heard him.
Here is Janine. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show, Janine.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Well, it just reminded me about 30 years ago, our house burned down when I was a kid.
Sucks, doesn't it?
And I was about 18 years old. And the people would come over and help us. There was some stuff left. It was basically gutted. But the neighbors would come over and help us clean up our stuff. I don't know. Maybe you don't want people to help you sift through the ashes. We had people help us do that. And
do you have a cat in the car, ma'am? Because it sounds like there's a cat meowing.
Yes, he is. He doesn't like traveling.
Question for you, Janine. How did your home burn down, if you don't mind me asking you, ma'am?
My mother turned the stove off, and it shorted when she left.
All right. See, this is the thing. Our home burned down through no fault of my own. Your home burned down because, God bless her, your mother was a little stupid. And so what we have here are two different situations. Our home
burned down. Our house burned down. They're the same thing.
No, no. Your home burned down. You deserved it. You deserved it. My home, I didn't.
Somebody turned the stove off.
Wait a minute. What do you mean she deserved it? You guys are, the lady's trying to commiserate with you. She's trying to...
You don't have to use the big words, Mr. Henry, and you don't need to talk down to me.
I'm not using a big word. The lady's calling in to have sympathy, to have some empathy with you.
Her home burned down because someone was an idiot. My home burned down...
Because someone was an idiot. Somebody started a fire.
But my mom didn't do it. She turned the stove off.
See, and that started the fire.
But that doesn't mean she's an idiot.
Well, how come
she
had to... Why'd she turn the stove off?
Because she was leaving. It would have been smarter to leave the stove on and leave.
Well, it was going to burn either way.
Maybe not. No, it was shorted. I mean, things happen. People start fires. Thunder happens.
It was going to burn either way.
Well, what are you laughing at?
I think what you said is so stupid. So, Janine, the neighbors came around and helped you, and this is the thing that we want out of life, isn't it? We want to have neighborhoods and people involved in our lives that are genuine like that. Isn't it true?
She doesn't know what the hell you're talking about. She's stunned.
I don't think you can judge people because they come and help you. You can't assume they have bad feelings.
You're right, Janine. You shouldn't, but I do. And I'll tell you this much. Someone comes over to my house with banana bread again. Did your neighbors bring you banana bread? Because nothing will bring out a violent rage like that. Did you get any banana bread?
I don't remember getting banana bread.
Well, this lady, she comes up. You got underwear?
Yes, I did.
What, did the guy walk over with it on his head?
It was a family we didn't even hardly know. She was the girl that gave it to me, was a year younger than me in school, and I mean I didn't have any other.
Well, can I ask you, did they have the decency to wash it first?
No, I what really the hell can't remember. It was about
what
30
are these
years
questions,
ago.
Man?
Because she's telling me her neighbor came over with a pair of underwear on his head to give to her.
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, she most certainly did.
No, you said that.
And by the way, Janine, nice that they gave you the underwear. By the way, how are the herpes? Yeah. See, these are the things we don't...
All right, I...
And you call yourself a Christian?
Yeah, no kidding.
How can you do that?
I'm saying, how can you take filthy underwear from a neighbor? I bet it looked nice on
you.
What color was the underwear?
I didn't say that. You did. And you assumed it came from a guy.
Yeah,
I said it came from a girl that was a year younger than me.
No, ma'am, I didn't say it didn't come from the girl. I said it was delivered to you by a guy wearing them on his head.
You did.
Well, I thought you did.
No, she didn't say that at all. She didn't say the guy came over with him on his head.
I thought you said the girl's father came over.
No.
With his daughter's underwear on his head. Were they a thong or granny panties or what?
Never mind. Janine, thank you very much for your call.
Oh, yeah. All the fun that you get to you hung up, you bastard.
Why don't you go back over to your house that's burned down, man, and start sifting through some ashes and see if you can't do something constructive besides bitching at your neighbors. Are you going to rebuild?
Rebuild what?
The house.
Oh. I don't know. I never liked the neighborhood. No, probably not. We're going to move back east. I want to go to North Carolina, find out where that Diane is. She sounds sweet. Or wherever that gal was with her giving out the underwear on some guy's head. Can I get another Johnny over here, too? Johnny Black? But a lot of the people that I've been talking to, Phil, are feeling the same way. They want to get out. Hey, Light Touch, I sent another Johnny Black. A lot of the people...
Aren't you a little preoccupied?
No, I'm not preoccupied. I'm having a good time. A lot of the people in our neighborhoods, Phil, thank you very much, they're sick of it, and they want to get the hell out. We live in a fire country. We can't take it. Can I get a match, too? You know, do something, will you? And next time, put some booze in the drink. That'd be a real nice change of pace for this joint. So all of the...
Get out of here. What a dick. There he is, Vernon Dozier. Guy had to be cleaning up his house. He's having himself a Johnny Black. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show will be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And we're going to be having a signing this month of our Best of the Year 2003 CD coming out, available right now for pre-order. And all you have to do is go to www.philhenryshow.com to pre-order our Best of the Year 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. The other thing that we want to tell you about that we're very excited about, of course, is... our first annual Phil Henry Show Dumbass Award Show, the Dumbass of the Year Awards, will be coming out on December the 23rd, live from the Kodak Theater in Hollywood. And it's going to be something else, baby. We're going to have 10 different categories of dumbass. Sports, the top African-American dumbass of the year, top Caucasian dumbass of the year, the top dumbass of the year in politics, the top movie star dumbass of the year, and that'll be a challenge. That's going to be, wow, I just. Although, you got to go some man to beat out Sean Penn and that dumbbell. Although, who else do you think is up there with him? Let's go ahead and theorize, because I don't know who it's going to be. And the dumbass of the year, I got no clue who that might be, because it's just the field is going to be jammed. The top white boy dumbass, the top Caucasian dumbass of the year. The dumbass Caucasian of the year. I don't know. Mike Reagan? I'm joking, Michael. I'm kidding around, pal. I love you. When are we having dinner, man? You keep talking about it. You never invite me to your freaking house. What am I supposed to do? Have you over to mine? All right, then there's the television star dumbass of the year. I would say television star dumbass of the year is probably James Brolin. Well, I mean, this cat does this movie. You know, James Brolin gets some great, juicy character parts, doesn't he? And he ain't all that... I'm sorry, I don't get it. The top television executive dumbass of the year has probably got to be John Zucker. Then there is the top dumbass musician of the year. Well, Mellencamp's there. Mellencamp is such a clod. He's such a farm boy, isn't he? He's singing all his folk songs. Hey, dude, you ain't kidding nobody, all right? You know, like what you do is you lift a little Woody Guthrie here, and you rip off some Bruce Springsteen there, and you go out with the T-shirt, and you look like you climbed off a freaking tractor, and you look like you still got a corn cob shoved up your you-know-what. Somebody comes out with a fiddle, and yahoo, man, let's blow on a jug and have ourselves a hoedown. I couldn't, although you do have hair, and I don't, so I'll give you that. The top male dumbass of the year, just the overall, in the male category, dumbass men. It's a toss-up. There are millions. The top female dumbass of the year. You know, maybe Britney Spears only because she allowed Madonna to lip-lock her. Look, if you're going to look at... Now, J-Lo ain't dumb. She may be a pain in the ass, but, you know, or she may have a pain in her ass. Or I don't know, but she ain't dumb. Britney, though, gets talked into Madonna. Ooh, God. That poor kid. Ooh. That's like child molestation. Even though she's what? What's Britney Spears, 40? Jennifer Aniston might be for female dumbass because she's over there and she thinks the power of her celebrity from a TV show is so strong it'll bring peace to the Middle East. And here's the answer that here's the comment you get from most people. Boy, what a cynic you are, Henry. Can't people go over and actually try for peace? Yes, people can go over and try for peace. But, you know, if there's an actual shot at it, man. But if you're going over there to make yourself look great, and if you're going over there to say, hey, God, look what I did. Can you punch my ticket for me? And you want to go over there and you have this belief that you're a movie star so you can walk on water, do everybody a favor. Do everyone a big favor. Do the honorable thing. In that case, I don't know what it would be for you, Jennifer. All right, the youth dumbass of the year, young dumbbell of the year. Boy, in years past, we had a lot of great ones. Macaulay Culkin, that poor kid, what a dumbass he was getting married. Now his career, well, he don't have a career. Think of a kid that's just dumb. R.C. Collins is pretty stupid, but he's more dangerous than he is stupid. I don't know who the youth dumbass of the year would be. And then, of course, the overall dumbass of the year, the big number one dumbass. Who blundered the most this year? Male, female, could be any category. I dare say that a lot of people might call it President George Bush, but they'd be so wrong that I would weep in sympathy for them. I would say the dumbass of the year for me is Jacques Chirac. What an idiot. Oh, my God. You know, at least Bush is dumb and he's the most powerful man in the world. Chirac's an idiot and he's like the eighth most powerful man in the world. What a moron he is. Who's the top sports dumbass of the year? Kobe is pretty close because Kobe did like the dumbass thing. He cheated on his wife. He's a celebrity. He cheated on his wife. Warren Sapp's not stupid. Warren Sapp is a pain in the ass more than anything else. What do you mean sports team? The dumbass sports team of the year? Probably the Bucks. Yeah, there's more idiots on that team than, you know. Yeah, who has the largest, what sports team has the largest concentration of imbeciles? You got to say the Tampa Bay Bucks. You got to, don't you? Who's dumber? I mean, literally, man for man, who's stupider? What team is dumber in the NFL than the Tampa Bay Bucks? Other than maybe, I don't know. They're, you know, maybe the Oakland Raiders, but they're not so much stupid as they are just inept and old. Old doesn't make you dumb. It just makes you old. Except in my case, it makes me dumb, too. Although there's one thing that I haven't lost. Now, moving along. And then finally, the dumbass African-American of the year. That ought to be fun. Who's the dumbest black man or woman of the year? Real stupid. I mean, real dumbbell. Dumbbell. I don't know. We'll have to be looking around for that one, too. But in any event, it's all coming up on December the 23rd. And as I said, we are going to be very specific with the definition. Dumbass, the definition of a dumbass is this. Are you stupid or something? That's what you would ask of a dumbass. You wouldn't ask that of any other kind of person, so you don't want to confuse the issue here. But on December the 23rd, because we seem to be so filled with these kinds of people, we'll have our Dumbass of the Year Awards. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Check out our website, www.philhendryshow.com, for all the latest news, all the latest archived stuff, all the latest stuff in our souvenir shop, all the latest... it's all happening at the zoo, baby. www.philhendryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.